The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Once when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. I want to begin by saying Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Unfortunately, you had to get up before breakfast this morning, but it's great to have you here today. When we hear the readings from today, I think that they represent for us something like cliff notes for the Christian life. You remember what cliff notes were when I was a kid in high school? Cliff notes got me through most of the literature classes. Let you read those small books instead of the big ones. And what these readings tell us today are how we are to live our life in Christ. And the beginning of that life comes with the acknowledgement that we hear from St. Peter today when we recognize Jesus as the Christ of God. And when we recognize Jesus as the Christ of God, that takes a supreme amount of faith. And you and I are living here 21 centuries or 20 plus centuries after the life of Jesus. It takes a lot of faith for us to be able to say that day after day. In fact, more faith than what the early disciples had. The early disciples were witnesses to Christ's life. They saw his miracles. They saw his healings. They heard his teaching. It didn't take the same level of faith for them to be able to say that Jesus was the Christ of God as it takes for you and me to say it today. So our whole life, our whole Christian life, begins with this single acknowledgement that Jesus is the Christ of God. What follows that is what we hear from St. Paul, and that's baptism. That baptism puts us in a position that we are now bonded to the body of Christ. What Paul said exactly was, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ..." We're baptized into the body of Christ, and we are part of him, and he becomes part of us in this sacramental rite. And what the sacrament of baptism gives us is three things: complete remission of sin at the time of the baptism, including original sin. It welcomes us into the Christian community, the whole broad Christian community, including all of those who've gone before us. And it bonds us deeply into the body of Christ. We're grafted onto his body and become part of him for the rest of our lives. What that also does is stir up in us a faith life, a spiritual life, and it avails us to the rest of the sacraments. And in fact, what it can do is make us want the other sacraments even more. And I want to give you an example of that. Last Sunday at the 8 o'clock Mass, my little granddaughter Eleanor sat right there. And after Mass, as I was taking my vestments off, she came back and saw all of the sacred vessels back there, and she asked what they were. And I told her that those were the chalices and the ciborium, I didn't say that, the plates and the cups that we use when we receive the body of Christ at Mass. That when we eat the Eucharist, we're eating the real body and blood of Jesus Christ. Well, Eleanor didn't have any questions about that. She didn't ask me, "Well, how does transubstantiation work, Papa? Is it really Jesus?" She didn't ask that. She took it on faith that that was indeed Jesus Christ. But she did have two questions. She said, "Do you really eat him?" And I said, "Yes, we really eat him." And then she asked the important question, "Is he spicy?" No, he's not spicy. But if we're going to live bonded to Christ, What that means then is we have to move into a lifetime of living this faith, a lifetime of being in Christ. And so it means we have to pattern our lives after the life of Christ. And so what do we hear in today's gospel reading that the life of Christ was about? Well, first of all, the passage begins by saying that Jesus was praying in solitude. And so prayer is a major part of life in Christ. You and I are called to be a people of prayer. And we're not praying because God somehow needs us to pray to Him. We need to pray for our own good. As we pray, it deepens our relationship with God. It brings us closer to our salvation. So prayer is an integral part of what we do. We hear time and time throughout the scripture of Jesus going alone to pray by Himself. And we're called to do the same. But there's something else we note throughout the Gospels, and that Jesus' life was a life of sacrifice. Every passage of Scripture, every passage of the Gospel we read, Jesus is sacrificing. He's teaching. He's healing. He's curing. He's helping. He's pouring out His entire life for the benefit of someone else. And the best way to describe what that sacrifice is the word love. Love demands sacrifice. It's impossible to love without sacrifice. Because in every action of our lives, everything you do and I do is either for ourselves or for someone else. And when we do something for someone else, we're demonstrating our love and concern and compassion for them, just as Jesus demonstrated that for us. So our life is a life of prayer, and our life is meant to be a life of sacrifice, constant sacrifice every day. When we do that, there's a profound consequence, and the consequence is illustrated in what Jesus tells us is going to happen to Him in Jerusalem. The consequence of a life in Christ, a life of prayer, and a life of sacrifice is a life of suffering. It's not a life that is optional. It doesn't sometimes happen. It always happens. And when we think oftentimes about carrying the cross of Christ, we reduce that down to thinking about people who've had cancer or a serious illness or lost a loved one, that they have to get up the next day and man up and carry their cross. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the cross we must bear simply by following Him. When we look at the life of Jesus, and we think back to what the prophet said, what His life would be like, in Isaiah 53, He tells us that the Messiah will be the suffering servant, someone who will come and liberate Israel, liberate us, redeem us, but He'll do it through sacrifice and through suffering. And we shouldn't expect any better than what the Master received. In today's Gospel, Jesus says, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, be killed and on the third day be raised." The chief priests, the elders and the scribes were the most respected people in the Jewish community. If they rejected you, you were out of the community. That is the most serious form of rejection you can have during Christ's lifetime. So the suffering Jesus endured, both the rejection by the people he cared most about, his friends and relatives in Nazareth, the rejection of the chief priests and scribes, is the same kind of rejection we're going to have if we're leading a life in Christ. So what leads to that in our day? What would lead to that type of rejection for you and me? Well, oftentimes, it's simply viewing every action, everything we do, from the lens of Jesus Christ Himself. That we react appropriately. When someone hates us, when someone does violence to us, how we respond dictates how we're living that life in Christ. So let me give you an example. If we're attacked, we have a choice. We can either respond with violence or we can respond with blessing. And it's a simple choice. If we respond with violence, we're subscribing to the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth mentality. We're giving way to violence to violence. But yet, if you respond with a blessing, what happens? You strip away the legitimacy of the first attack. It's very simple. When we respond with violence, the person who attacked us to begin with can say, "Aha, see, this is why I had to do it, because I knew how you would act." If we respond with kindness, we respond with love, we respond just as Jesus would have, what happens? The battle's over. The argument's ended. And then people will resent us. And that resentment stems wholly from the fact that if we're living in Christ, we're not living in the world. We're running counter to what the world demands. Because the world demands eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. If we look at it from a societal standpoint, I think in the 20th century, one of the greatest examples we can look to is the life of Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King. He fought with nonviolence against institutional racism and discrimination in our country. And he did it entirely with nonviolence. When he was attacked, when he was stabbed, when he was jailed, he never changed course at all. He stayed the course, but he stayed the course of nonviolence. And it cost him. He suffered greatly and eventually was killed, just as our Lord was. And so we can look at our own lives and ask ourselves a simple question. Are we living that life of Christ? Are we opening ourselves up to the prayer and the sacrifice that we have to make to be in Christ? And in the same time, opening ourselves up to the suffering that is guaranteed to follow it. Father Richard Rohr says, "You know that you're carrying the cross of Christ when they don't praise you for being a great Christian, but what they do is mock you. They say you're stupid. They say you're naive. They say all kinds of evil things against you. Then you know you're carrying the cross of Christ." Jesus suffered. He suffered, but he willingly took on his cross in order to demonstrate his sacrifice for us. In order to redeem us, he willingly took on his cross. If we're going to lead a life of Christ, we have to willingly accept our crosses and do it every single day, just as Jesus tells us. Every single day, striving to live that life of singular sacrifice, of prayer, and accepting, without question, the suffering that will come with it.